prepare to meet thy God. I just baptized Gary Marsh on the 12th of December, 2020. And I didn't know that almost exactly 4 months away, he would have passed away. He passed away on April the 11th. We just never know when our last day on earth will be. It's about 3 months ago I went to see Sister Clarice. And she was, did she hit 77 already? Or she was on her way there? Her 77. Right, she turned 77 in the old year. Was on her way to 78. But she bowed out and went to sleep in Jesus. We just never know when our last day on earth will be. Whatever day we live for Jesus, that's good enough. Amen? And so today I want to put emphasis on that point. Prepare to meet thy God. And before I go any further, I want you to also hear this other point. We have no time to lose. After one dies, there can be no repentance. So any repentance we need to do it right now. Tomorrow may be just too late. Next week may just never come. And we may just not have next year. But what we do have is now. And we have no time to lose. You know, our opening hymn was right on point. Hymn number 438 says, "You will see your Lord a-coming. You will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. Hear the band of heavenly music. Hear the band of heavenly music. You will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days." The two verses we did not sing, stanzas 3 and stanzas 4, one says, "You will see the saints arising. You will see the saints arising in a few more days." All those loved ones you had that have already passed, including Gary and Clarice, they passed away in Jesus, and we expect to see the saints arising. See them coming back to life as Jesus calls them from their graves. And then the fourth line says, "Angels bear them to the Savior." Think about little babies who died, but their parents lived for God, and God knew their future, that if they should have lived and grown old enough, they too would have made that decision for him on their own. God knows everything, the self-existing one. And so little children who have died and their parents live for God, angels are going to bear those babies to their mothers and their parents. Angels bear them to the Savior. Those words are powerful, and we're told in history past that James White would walk into a meeting in those days in the mid-1800s, and he would be thumping on his Bible, and he'd be singing that song. It was one of his favorite songs as he walked to the pulpit to give God's message. "You will see the Lord a-coming." And for them, it was literal. They expected God to come literally in a few more days. What was his name? Was it Charles Beecher? That was the one who dug the hole in the ice to baptize some people. And when, and this is a few days leading up to 1844. And to October 1844. And, you know, some more people came, and he baptized a second group. And a third set came, and he's still baptized. And he ended up getting pneumonia. And he got sick. And on his dying bed, the man was smiling. He was all pleasant. Because in a few short days, he was going to be resurrected by his Lord. And his wife, she didn't mourn, because in a few more days, Christ was coming and her husband was going to come back to life. Of course, you know, Christ did not come on October 22, 1844, like they expected. And I guess after that, she mourned, and they mourned his passing. I would like you guys to write something down for me. And as I leave church today, I'd like you to give it to me. Write down the day when you're going to die. Just write it down, the date that you're going to die, since you know. The truth is, none of us know when that day is. But today, we can write in our own lives the love of God, the grace of God, the power of God, by simply asking God. We can write that in our experience. That means when we're in Christ, we're safe. And the man in Christ, the woman in Christ, the boy in Christ, the girl in Christ, the young adult in Christ does not fear death because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so the hymn says, in a few more days, you will see the Lord coming. One of these days soon, Christ is coming back the second time. It is imminent. And so today I stand here to sound the alarm. Prepare to meet thy God. Christ is coming back much nearer than when we first believed. Amen. But, you know, what if Christ's second coming takes longer than you wish? How are you going to respond? Are you going to fall away? Christ's coming could happen much sooner than you think. Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 24 verses 42 and 44, Jesus says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. You do not know. Jesus himself says so. Then in verse 44 he says, therefore you also be ready, for in such an hour when you do not expect, the Son of Man is coming. We don't know when Christ is coming. These are things the Father has put in his own control. He's not revealed to any one of us the day of his coming. And he won't. Mind you, we are told in the spirit of prophecy that when we are in the time of trouble, during the time of trouble, God's going to tell us then when he's going to appear. But it's that this may be 2 days before. It could be 24 hours before. We don't know. Only then we'll hear something. And by then, all minds have been made up. All decisions have been made. Because we should not make our decision to serve God because we know when he's coming. That's not the reason for serving God. Amen? We should serve God because he deserves to be served as a self-existent one, the eternal God. And so we worship him in spirit and in truth. Time is short. Prepare to meet thy God. I wonder if Gary knew that that Sabbath toward the end of March when he came to church was going to be his last Sabbath. I wonder what he would have told everybody here. Maybe he would stand up and let you know that he really appreciates each one of you. Maybe he would stand up and say, you know, Elmira Church, I want to tell you, I feel you as my family and I love you. He would have said those words of goodbye had he known. Even though he might have been a shy person. If he knew his last day on earth was going to be then, I think he would have said something to you. You know, when I visited Sister Clarice, I actually said it to Risha, Sister Maria, I said to her, one of the things about people who are on their way out, mean they're dying, they usually wait for a last major event to pass and then they die. That's true. Its studies have shown that. And I said to Risha, the pastor went to visit her. It may have been one of the last things she was waiting for. She sat up in that bed and in plain English, she greeted the pastor when he went to visit her. It was clear as day. You couldn't tell she had an accent. She said it so plainly. And she was there with us and we spent time by her bedside encouraging her. She sat up the whole time. And that said a lot to me. And I have the full confidence that she went to sleep with Jesus. Amen? She's sleeping in Christ. Nothing matters more at the end of the day than that we have been prepared to meet our God. Because in the end, that is what will count. Time is about to collide with eternity head on. And the collision will be very jarring. Only those who have anchored themselves with Christ in the inner veil of the heavenly sanctuary will be able to come through that collision with safety. Fellow pilgrims, we are warned in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 onward. The Apostle Paul writes, See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Verse 27. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. How many of you caught that? That the things which cannot be shaken may remain. You know, COVID-related lockdowns and inconveniences are not the shaking. Yet this pandemic has managed to shake some people out of church. The passage above makes it plain that all that can be shaken will be shaken. Only the things which cannot be shaken will remain. Prepare for Christ's second coming and the shaking time that precedes it. There will be a shaking among God's people. So prepare to meet thy God. You know, only those diligently seeking victories over sin will find deliverance. We are told in Hebrews chapter 12, same chapter, this time verses 3 and 4, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. How many of you hate sin so much and strive against sin so much that you would rather die than to sin? This is what we are called to in the Bible. Today we are too familiar with sin. And we make sin too tame and we befriend sin. Sin has become our bosom friends. We should hate sin like we hate COVID. We should sanitize from sin, right? And we should mask ourselves from sin. I tell you, if we treated sin the way we treat COVID, we'd be all right. I think some of us will go up in translation. Amen. We don't shake hands with sin. You know? Yes. We don't hug sin. Yes. If we treated sin the way we treat COVID, we'll be all right. And what you say? So we should treat it like we treat leprosy? We should treat sin like we treat leprosy? We should. We should. You know, the verse here says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Hebrews 12 verse 4. This verse reminds me of Christ's prayerful, you know, struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22 verse 44 says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When last did you pray like that? Did you ever pray like that? Do you hate sin so much that you have a hemorrhage praying to God to get rid of sin from your life? I mean, you don't have to go to that extreme, but you can pray until the sin is eradicated. We have been talking about 10:15, and when I look at the table, I can see the signs. There's a crew here that got serious about it and put it on every table. So when we sit to fellowship over lunch, we are reminded of 10:15. And kudos to the team who did that. I tell you, Elmira led the way. Amen. Now is the time to practice praying prevailing prayers. There's a difference between saying prayers and actually praying. Saying praise is repeating something somebody taught you. Praying is actually talking to God as to a friend, pouring out the heart to him. Now is the time to practice praying prevailing prayers. We will only receive heaven's power to the extent that we desire and seek that power. And I want to tell you today that heaven's best gift is the Holy Spirit himself. And so we should seek the Holy Spirit now. Seek the born again experience now. Prepare to meet thy God. You know, our own Seventh-day Adventist prophetess, Ellen White, says, I was shown the people of God and saw them mightily shaken, some with strong faith and agonizing cries were pleading with God. Some I saw did not participate in this work of agonizing and pleading. They seemed indifferent and careless. They were not resisting the darkness around them, and it shut them in like a thick cloud. The angels of God left these, and I saw them hastening to the assistance of those who are struggling with all their energies to resist the evil angels and trying to help themselves by calling upon God with perseverance. But the angels left those who made no effort to help themselves, and I lost sight of them. As the praying ones continued their earnest cries, a ray of light from Jesus would at times come to them to encourage their hearts and light up their countenances. I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen, and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodiceans. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it, and this will cause a shaking among God's people. The testimony of the true witness has not been half heeded. The solemn testimony upon which the destiny of the church hangs has been lightly esteemed, if not entirely disregarded. This testimony must work deep repentance, and all that truly receive it will obey it and be purified. Counsels to the Church, page 338. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Colossians chapter 4 verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Romans 13:11 says, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I want to say to the church today, don't allow the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to go in vain. He has done all that he can for you. What's the call then? Come now and make a full and complete surrender to Jesus Christ. Pray for the spirit of surrender even right this moment. Pray now. Give all your burdens to Jesus Christ now. Because you know what? Now is the time to get rid of your excuses and your distractions. Now is the time. Crown Christ as king of your own life. Isn't that what the song says? King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. The text under consideration is Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. And there the prophet Amos says, therefore, thus I will do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And I want you to know that ever since 2,000 years ago, God has raised up a new Israel. It's not in the Middle East. It's not bloodline descendants of Abraham. God's Israel is his church. And in 1844, God raised up a movement to lead Israel back to the Bible, to lead Israel to truth. And God has raised up the Seventh-day Adventist Church as its leader in these modern days to show mankind how to live. This is God's remnant church. Now I want to tell you that in Palestine, there were two kingdoms of Jewish people, right? There was Israel to the north, and there was Judah to the south. And both of them at this point of Amos's ministry were rolling over in national success. Under Jeroboam II, Israel in the north was at its zenith of its power. Jeroboam II overran the Syrians and expanded the northern boundaries of the kingdom all the way back to the boundaries that existed when the nation was one before the split. Under Saul and David and Solomon. You know, it was after Solomon that it split, right? Two tribes in the south went with Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he broke away and the 10 tribes followed him and formed the northern kingdom of Israel. And the Bible talks about Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that caused Israel to sin. Because in Samaria, they established calf worship. And so, here is this time of unprecedented success for both the kingdoms. In Judah, that's in the south, under King Uzziah, the Edomites and the warlike Philistines were subdued and the Ammonites were subjugated. Now, Uzziah promoted agriculture and the arts of peacetime, and he created a very large and powerful army. This made Jerusalem a heavily fortified zone. But the same prophet Amos had said in Amos chapter 6 and verse 1, and I think God is saying it to the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, even in Elmira, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Those who sit and do nothing for the Lord must inevitably lead secret sinful lives. An idle brain is the devil's playground. And if we are not working for the Lord, the devil is working us. If we are not missionaries for Christ, then we are mission fields to be worked for Christ. Woe. Woe. And when you see woe in scripture, pay attention. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and to those who trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. I want to tell you this warning today. You know, the fruits of material prosperity are usually pride, luxury, selfishness, and oppression. Check anywhere on earth. The fruit of material prosperity, pride, luxury, selfishness, oppression, without fail. And you know what? Those who are ripening in the kingdom of Judah, That's the southern kingdom. But Israel was worse. They had calf worship set up in the north. And it is at this time that God rose up the prophet Amos, whose name means burden bearer, coming from the Hebrew word Amas, which is similar to that group over in the Middle East they call Hamas. Same root word. Bearing a burden. And Amos left the southern territory of Judah to bear his message to the northern kingdom of Israel. And he was contemporary with the prophet Hosea. And they were telling of judgment to come. Even though you had these mighty armies, there was an Assyrian empire flexing its power. It was on the rise. And of course you know that Sennacherib, you remember that name in scriptures? Assyrian king. Tiglath-Pileser, fierce warrior. These guys would rise up and they'll become a thorn in both the nation of Israel and the kingdom of Judah's side. And Amos rose up to bear the message to call the people back to true worship of the living God. And in the chapter of Amos 4, you'll see where God sent blight and God sent mildew. God sent pestilence and God sent plagues. God sent armies against Israel to wake them up. And still the word of the Lord came and says, still you would not turn to the Lord. I wonder if God is calling us today to revival. And God is sending us message and messages. And God is even using, he didn't send it, but he's even using the COVID situation to wake us up to the reality. Time is running out. Christ is about to come. And he's doing everything to wake up his church. And some of the saints are still sleeping. If you know you are going to die tomorrow, what would you do today? If you knew Christ's coming was that imminent, would you feel a burden to warn your neighbors, to warn your friends, to warn your children and grandchildren, to warn your siblings and relatives, to warn your co-workers and classmates? Would you feel that burden if you knew Christ was coming soon? And he is. Philosophically, prophetically, and literally, Jesus is coming soon. His coming is much nearer than when we first believed. And God is saying to us today, prepare to meet thy God. Philosophically, every day we live is one day closer to the grave. We just lost two members mere hours apart. Two in one stroke in the same week. One on Sunday, one before day and Tuesday morning. Two members of this congregation that quickly. Do you know the next moment, Sister Clarice, the next moment, Brother Gary are alive, they'll be looking in the face of God? Do you know that? That's how close we are philosophically to the coming of Jesus Christ. Prophetically, all the major prophetic signs have been fulfilled. And the few that are left, we are told that the final movements will be rapid ones. And we, if we have learned anything else, we should have learned during this past COVID year how quickly things can turn around by the laws of the land. Overnight, you go to sleep tonight and you wake up tomorrow to a different set of rules and laws. That's how quickly. And we're told that the final movements will be rapid ones. So philosophically and prophetically, the coming of Christ is near. Literally, we know that the world will not enter into God's rest. And earth is closing in on its 6,000th year of life. Amen. Do we know that earth is going to rest for the 7,000 years of life? Yes. That's when the saints will be in heaven. And that old devil will have a kingdom of skull and bones down here. That's all he can rule over, skull and bones. He'll have a leveled city. When you look at Elmira, you couldn't tell it was Elmira, because this will be leveled at the coming of Christ. And that's what the devil will get to rule over, broken down buildings. And the dead, because they're dead. All the living are gone to heaven. Amen. The saints Anyone on earth is dead, except the devil and his imps, his fallen angels. And for 1,000 years, he'll have to put his big hooves over this broken down world. Kingdom of skull and bones. I mean, he doesn't have quite have hooves. I'm just using symbolic language here. But that's what he'll rule over. Kingdom of skull and bones. While the saints will be in heaven for 1,000 years. Do you know anyone who's ever gone for 1,000 years on vacation? And Sister Arlene, you don't need a Visa or MasterCard or American Express. It's fully paid by Jesus Christ. Jim, you won't have a bill when you get back tucked under your room door. You won't have that. This will be a free vacation for you and Lady Sharon. 1,000 years. And you know what? You won't have any COVID exposure. You won't have to get a vaccination. You won't have to wear a mask there. You don't have to social distance there. It'll be a kingdom of perfect bliss. Amen? And guess what? We will not have to lose any loved one there. Because sickness and crying and dying will be no more. Nothing that hurt in all God's holy mountain. I think it's worth it that we prepare to meet our God. What do you say? Amen. I think it is worth it. I think so. I would like you then, in commitment to Christ today, and this is both a prayer and a commitment to mission, hymn number 212. That's our closing hymn today. "'Tis almost time." I'm inviting two people forward today. Lou, come on up. Come on up. Shakira, come on up. Now, I want to ask a question today. Is there anyone present here today who has not been baptized as yet? Very simple, very plain, very straightforward. All right, so we have one hand raised. You've not been baptized? Okay, very good. Is that something you're looking forward to? Amen. You believe so, amen. Amen. Praise be to God. That is a strong witness right there. Time is wrapping up on earth. And I believe it is our privilege to call men and women, youth and young adults, boys and girls, to make their decision for Christ. You know, on that paper there, remind me her name once more. Faith, what's her name again? Ellie. All right, so what I'd like you to do, on the bulletin you have, there's a section that says for the pastor. And by the way, Sharon, I copied it and we're doing that at Vesto too. Great job. I really like that. You can indicate on that section that says for the pastor what you would like us to help you with. We're here. We have a team. I have a team of elders. We have others here who are equipped. And whatever it is that you desire, put it on that paper and we will make it happen for you. If you need a visit from the pastor, the pastoral team, put it there. You'd like to be engaged in Bible studies, put it there. You'd like to be baptized, put it there. You like pray for something special, put it there. We're here to work, because I believe when our work is done, the work on earth will be done. Amen? In each locality, when the work is done, the work on earth overall will be done. Today I've invited Brother Lou and Shakira, and I'm going to ask them to do prayers for us. I'm going to ask them to pray for us. So if you would pray, Brother Lou, and then Shakira, you'll pray next. And I'll pray the final prayer. Go for it.
Our loving Father in heaven, we come to you this Sabbath day, thanking you for your many blessings.
Yes, Lord.
Thanking for your daily watch, care and protection over.
Yes.
We thank you for your love and understanding that keeps us going in this wicked world.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray that you will be with us every day.
Yes, Lord.
Guide us down this life path.
Yes.
So when you come in the clouds of heaven, we can meet you and go home with you throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. In these things we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for your Sabbath day. We thank you that in the sermon today that we are reminded that the day is almost gone.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I'm asking you that we will not leave this place as we came in, but our hearts will be transformed, that we will take things more seriously, that we will draw closer to you, Lord, so that when you come, we will be saved in your kingdom. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, you said in your word that where two or three are gathered in your name, touching anything concerning you, you are in the midst. Today, Lord, we sense your presence among us. And we're asking right now, Jesus, that you from your heavenly sanctuary, please, Lord, forgive our sins, forgive our transgressions, take away our iniquities, Lord, and fill us with your own righteousness. Fill us with your own character. Give us the born-again experience, and may we leave from this place revived. Even as we sit over lunch, Lord, and as we get a presentation a little bit from now, we ask Jesus that we will pay attention, we'll draw close to you, we'll keep the Sabbath holy, we'll live for you, and Jesus, we'll be ready for when you come. Make us ready now, Lord, and help us to stay ready. Oh, Lord, transform us. And help us truly, Lord, in the truest sense of the word, to prepare to meet our God. We look forward to meeting you soon, Jesus. Help us then to be ready now. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.